As you all heard the reading in the Gospel of St. John this morning, I'm often reminded that Advent is a time of comfort. You know, in the book of Isaiah, it says, comfort, comfort my people. And that is what Advent is about. It's a time of comforting and nurturing our souls because we are preparing ourselves for Christmas next week. So remember that. When you, regardless of what your circumstances are, regardless of where you are in your faith, God prepared all this with you in mind. And to me, that is the ultra in comfort. Isn't that true? Very true. You know, there was a heartwarming story that took place during the first Gulf War. Y'all remember, you remember Norman Schwarzkopf? He was in charge of the troops over there, American troops, that is, during that first Gulf War. And he was a very down-to-earth person. He took great joy in when it was mess time, chow time, whatever they call it in the military. He joined buck privates and sat down amongst them and ate his meals. Now, that was unheard of. A four-star general doing something like that, you don't hear that. But he was not going to be regimented or regulated to follow rules in that regard. They were his people. They were his men and women who were serving. And he had a responsibility. He was almost like a pastor or a minister to the service people because he felt responsible for them. And he would join them. And he was very admired for that fact, even though he was important. That didn't stop him. Yet he could humble himself in this way. You all heard that old saying, when the cat's away, the mice will play. You've not substituted in school in a long time, if you've ever done it lately. When the teacher's away, we substitute teachers really have our job cut out for us, because nowadays you don't have paddling. So the natives are very restless, and they will do everything in the world to push that envelope or press your button. So you know what I do? I find a yardstick, and I walk around the classroom, and I walk it like it's a cane. There's something intimidating about a yardstick. I don't hit anybody with it, but I learned that from a substitute teacher when I was in grade school, Miss Farmer. She wore the little rimless glasses on the end of her nose. I think they call them pince-nez or whatever. And she was one of these strict disciplinarians. You walk to the cafeteria, you better walk straight in the line. She had that yardstick out. And at that time, she would tap you with it there. I would say tap you, she more likely hit you. Well, you can't do that today. But there's still something intimidating about a yardstick. And some of the parateachers who help the teacher, they're just shocked because in delight, that can be a sort of a disciplinary method without implementing any violence. And so that's what I do when I have a class that they think they're going to pull one over on me. Well, they don't, because they see that yardstick. So, you know, when the cat's away, the mice will play. But, you know, we humans certainly messed up God's beautiful creation. And, you know, guess what? God came into our world to rectify the damage done. The purpose of God's human birth in theology is called the incarnation. And it happened in Bethlehem and was to rectify that damage begun in the Garden of Eden. As you know, a lot of times we assume that everything's going fine. But also, we think we can pull one over on God a lot. We think God's not looking. Now, I'm not saying that God is there like Santa Claus. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not shout. I'm telling you why Santa Claus is coming to that. He knows when you're asleep. And he knows when you're awake. Well, God is similar to that. I'm not putting God on the level of Santa Claus. But we think a lot of times that we can outsmart God. Why? well, God in the form of Jesus Christ isn't here on earth anymore, so we think we can do a lot of stuff that can get by with it. And so that's the reason I said when the cat's away, the mice will play. And there are some preachers are the same way. They will try to do their best to do a lot of things they shouldn't do. And, you know, one of the biggest sins I found among ministers is remaining aloof from their congregation. Some of them say, well, I don't get paid to stand and hold hands with my people. I said, well, you better start doing it or you'll be in the unemployment line very soon. The one told me that not long ago. And this is an important thing. There's responsibility with everything we do. And as I said about Advent being a time of comfort, it's also a time of closer relationships. And I think that's important between the minister and the congregation. I know everybody in this church, whether they're here or absent or not. I feel like that if you don't know them, I don't think you justify the title of reverend. Now, if we had 5,000 members, I might be limited on my knowledge of just about everybody. But I think it's important, you know, to get acquainted with everyone. A lot of times I try to call people. I've been negligent. I'm looking at a couple people. I promised to call them 3 or 4 times, and I haven't. And I need to do that. It's not because I don't want to. It's because I run out of time. But, you know, there was a preacher in 18th century England. He was an English vicar out in the countryside. His name was Parson Hill. And he always made sure of checking the whereabouts of his parishioners frequently. He purchased a telescope and stood atop the church steeple to survey the countryside to see who was coming to church on Sunday and who was staying at home. And the people would just be amazed. How did you know where I was? Well, he didn't tell them. He was viewing down from the steeple at them, you know, and all that. And it always did surprise his congregation. They knew their movements on their way to church. And I think that's a good idea. I think I should purchase a drone, don't you? That way it can zoom in on everybody. Now, let me see, who would I want to check on this Sunday? You know, to say, no, I don't want to get arrested for being a peeping Tom. But you know what? It does say a lot where people are, you know, in their hearts. And I think of all times of the church year, Advent should be one of the most well-attended Sundays. There's 4 Sundays in Advent, and I think that as many people as possible should get out of their house shoes and try to get to church. That is so important. And then people say, well, I just don't feel like my faith is that strong. Well, you know what? People stay away. Guess what? Your faith is going to get weak. If you went without food for a week, do you think you could walk straight down the street on the sidewalk without falling? I don't think you would probably get out of bed. That's the way it is with spiritual food. If you don't have it, you're going to get malnourished. And your faith will wither up, dry up. I was going to say if it doesn't rain, but we've had plenty the last couple of days. But it's important to think about that. But yet we think, well, the cat's away, the mice are play. And that happens a lot. You know, when we think of Christ's birth, we tend to romanticize the lovely Christmas scene in Bethlehem. But remember that God joined us from the blissfulness of heaven, which should be given some serious thought. Who would want to be born in a smelly old barn or cave and lying on hay? I mean, you know, that's like the royals in Buckingham Palace moving to a mobile home park. I mean, you know, So you have to remember what God did for us by coming to earth. John the Baptist declared that Jesus Christ is equal with God. There was no change in the God of heaven and the God who came to earth in a manger. Think about that. We think sometimes God's in heaven with smoke coming out of his nostrils and he reminds you of the Wizard of Oz, where the great wizard was tampering with all those machines, and you know, he was scaring the daylights out of the Scarecrow, Tin Man, Lion, and Dorothy, and Toto too. But that's not God at all. God has, since the dawn of time, has wanted to say, I'm here for you. I am here for you. I don't carry a yardstick with me. But a lot of times, we think God is always trying to hurt us. God does not hurt us at all. You know, Jesus Christ ultimately fulfilled the providential plan of salvation for us. But from time immemorial, humans have yearned for that closer relationship with God. And that was why the ancient Israelites, when they were captive in Egypt, longed to return to the promised land. But upon arrival, guess what? God's presence to them was not as intimate as it had been with Adam and Eve prior to the apple episode. Even so, the tabernacle, the various temple sacrifices of Jerusalem never reconciled the Israelites completely to God in a solid connection. In fact, it is mentioned in the Old Testament through the prophets that God prefers obedience over, guess what, ritual sacrifices. How many thousands of cattle and lambs were slaughtered? So they thought that was an appeasement to God. God was wanting their devotion. Where are we today? Yeah, we don't slaughter cattle or lambs or anything like that, or turtle doves. But a lot of times we allow other priorities to get ahead of us in our relationship to God. And there's a barrier which forms between God and us. And that's where we get frustrated in our relationship to him. And we wonder, well, what's God doing? God seems so distant. God didn't move. We did. Think about that. God is there for us. If you would only take heed to what God is telling each of us. And you know something else, too. If someone comes to you and shares with you some advice, you can evaluate it because you have your own brains. But did you ever think God might have sent that person to you in your life? Now, I would not poo-poo just everybody. What I would say is if somebody has some excellent advice, maybe that is God who has sent them. You know, angels unaware. So a lot of times, don't shove aside somebody's opinion. It may be an opinion that can be very valuable, not just to your spiritual life, but maybe to your physical life as well. But, you know, in a relationship, it's a two-way street. Yes, God wants to communicate with us, but we also have to communicate to God. That is not just Whistling Dixie either. God knew the only way would be through coming to earth to fulfill that two-way street in human form as the ultimate in everything solution for the redemption of the world. In this passage, we see Christ coming to earth and living among his creation, the best example of God's love to all people. Yet it seemed that God's people had lost their spiritual vision and recognition of him, and it was an uphill struggle. You know, it says in the scripture that without vision, the people perish. You better make sure you don't have spiritual cataracts. Or it may be for your shortcomings, but not God's. Lack of recognition can lead to some interesting moments. Have you ever seen somebody that may, say, work in the hospital, or maybe they work at a jewelry store in the bank, and you'll see them somewhere else, and you don't recognize them immediately? It happens to me quite frequently. And then it hits me, oh, I know those people, or I knew him or her like that. There was a fellow up in Kentucky back in the mid-1800s. His name was Will. Will was a very wealthy and affluent man. He was also quite an eccentric sort of guy, too. And he was, like I said, big landowner there and a character in the community. Well, one time he was fined $10 in Harrodsburg, Kentucky, for racing his horse and buggy into town on the streets. Now, believe it or not, before automobiles, they still had speed limits in town. And I've always wanted to wonder who the first person was ever got run over by a car, but I've not found that out yet. But it'd be interesting to find out one of these days. If you ever find out, let me know. But at his hearing for, you know, going past the speed limit, he gave the judge a $20 bill for his fine and started to leave. But the judge stopped him and yelled at him. He says, "Uncle Will, don't you know that your fine was only $10? You want your change? You gave me a $20 bill." And Uncle Will said, "You just keep that $10 because I'm going out of town the same way I came in, fast as lightning." Uncle Will had a nephew who was the spitting image of him. I'm sure some of you have relatives who look maybe similar because genetics, someone play an interesting role. You may not favor your father or mother, but you might favor an aunt or an uncle or maybe a first cousin or something. It happens in genetics there. And so one time he was in a department store and he looked over and he thought he saw his nephew and he came speed. He was over 70, so he didn't run, but he came walking pretty fast with his hand outstretched, and all of a sudden, bang, he ran into a mirror and fell to the ground. Didn't hurt himself, but he thought that was his nephew. It was his own reflection in the mirror. We can make mistakes, and a lot of times in those mistakes is not recognize something. Do you recognize God? A lot of times, even as lifelong Christians and church members, sometimes we have a smeared image of God. You know, it happens. It happens to all of us because we move away from God. And sometimes we're afraid of God, and we shouldn't be. But God is there for us. God truly is. You know, Jesus Christ came to restore this relationship and bring God in the flesh to us. Christ spoke words of peace and joy to troubled hearts. Many people in Christ's day did not see God in their midst. What we see in Jesus Christ is also true of God. This Advent season, let us concentrate upon the mystery and wonder of God, who reached down from heaven because of his love, that so none of us may perish but have everlasting life. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for coming to earth in a manger. It sounds simplistic. It even sounds just utterly ridiculous to come to earth like that. But you did it for a reason, and it worked. We pray, O God, let us restore, if we have lost some of that manger faith in you. Help us grow, O Lord, and help us live a more devout life. We're not expecting to be saints. We're not expecting to be holier than thou. We just pray to be faithful disciples of you. We pray this through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.